Welcome back to Elevation Trail. Gary, how the hell are you?
Is this the first show of 2016? I honestly don't even know.
It is, yep. This
is it really?
Show, Elevation Trail with me, Tim Long, and Gary David.
Well, it's 3 weeks to New Year. You can't rush these things.
No, we had to warm up, because we wanted this to be a really special show.
A lot of preparation. Lots of research. I got volumes, I got tomes.
Yeah.
As Mitt Romney said, I have binders full of women. He did say that. Google that, binders full of women.
Yeah, in actuality, Gary emailed me last night and was like, hey, you feel like doing a show tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So that's more of the way it played out.
Well, it also played out that last week I was teaching a course all week long. So that eliminated that opportunity because I was literally teaching from 9 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, a course on pop culture and consumer society. It's fascinating stuff, since I know very little about pop culture, unless it has something to do with children's cartoons. But yeah, it went well. So, I mean, we couldn't do a podcast that week. I think the week before that, I don't know what was going on. I think I was drinking a lot. Yeah.
I took on more responsibilities at work, too, so I'm working pretty much 6 to 6 every day.
Tim's all grown up.
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
But gone are those days where I would just get an email, you want to do a show right now? I got nothing to do. Sitting in my house in Colorado with my, gun trafficker neighbor, and I just wanted to see if you wanted to do a show. I'm like, bro, I got a life, man. I can't
do nothing better to do, whatever.
Gone are those days. Now Tim is in management.
Well,
white collar.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in an oversized motocross hoodie sweatshirt, so I wouldn't say it's completely white collar. It's just
you have a title, though.
Busy. Yeah, I'm titled.
You are titled, and you got a new house.
I did. Well, yeah. You see, you make it sound so much nicer than it is. I'm renting an old shack-like house. And yes, I know, working a lot of hours.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of adulthood, Tim.
I know. It only took a few years.
Long hours, responsibilities, deadlines.
I ever tell you the story, when everything fell apart in my life?
Oh, that story. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So 2001 is when it all went down. Before 2001, I was like this...
up-and-comer?
Kind of. I was thoroughly enthralled in the business world.
Right. You lived in Boston then, right?
I did. Previous to that, I worked for Buick Motor Division at their world headquarters. I worked at EDS, Ross Perot's company. If any of you don't know Ross Perot, he was
giant sucking sound.
Yeah. He was a former presidential candidate.
He was.
And sold EDS, Electronic Data Systems, to GM. Back then, and I worked for them for a while. I was reading Wayne Dyer books on, how to manage your life and be a better person and all that stuff. Obviously, it didn't work
Wayne out. Dyer probably doesn't want that endorsement. Don't know who Wayne Dyer is, but I'm...
You I'm don't? Thinking, Are you kidding me?
I don't. I'm thinking he doesn't want Tim Long to write blurb for the dust cover.
Wayne Dyer is like the god of self-help books.
Mm.
Yeah. Whatever you focus on expands in your life. So focus on positive things and those things will expand in your life. Focus on negative things and those will expand in your life. So what do we want to focus on? Chicks.
But not expansive.
Yeah. So anyway, back to my story. I was working at Buick Motor Division. After that, I went into telecommunications and was in that thoroughly, just enjoyed everything about it, all the technology. You know, T1s back then were the big thing, and T3s and DSL lines, all that crap. And telephonic stuff. So I learned all that, worked at a couple of companies in Massachusetts, the last one being Net2000 was the name of the company, and that was in 2001, was when everything kind of fell apart. I had like a really nice $3,000 watch, had a little convertible new sports car, had a really kick-ass apartment with all this Charles Eames furniture in it. So I was like a consumer. Kind of like your class,
consumerism,
pop culture, and consumerism.
A lot of wants, not many needs. A lot of wants.
Exactly. I was a consumer. Had debt like everybody else. And then 2001, my father died. 15 years ago, actually, just celebrated, if you want to call it that, the anniversary of his death. And a few days ago, January, he died in 2001. And I went into a tailspin and was mentally gone for 6 months or so. My company ended up filing whatever company's file is, a Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
Sure. I don't know.
Whatever the one is where they close the doors and everybody gets fired. So they filed bankruptcy, walked us all out. I stole my chair.
Attaboy.
Yeah, it was like a Ariane chair. They're like $600. So I rolled that out to my car and threw it in the trunk and left.
Into the sports car.
You got it. Hanging out the back. It was a little, little teeny trunk hanging out of the back of that, and I drove away. So I lost my job. Father died, mentally gone, and life was falling apart around me. And so I think I filed bankruptcy because I had all this debt and no jobs, and that was when telecom went down the shithole. And so there were what called CLECs, competitive local exchange carriers, kind of like AT&T.
Different than XLEX.
Competitors, yeah. There was like 600 of them around the country. Now there's only like two telecommunications companies again, so it's a monopoly again. Back then there was a whole thing. It was like an act in 1984 that made it competitive. So all these CLECs opened up. Now they all closed. And so there was like 1,000 people with my credentials, sales engineer, wandering around Boston with no jobs. So there's no jobs to be had. So I filed bankruptcy, got everything defaulted, lost all everything, got to give up my cars, all that stuff. That's a pretty fun story, huh?
This is great.
Yeah. So anyway,
we waited 3 weeks for the story. This is awesome.
So anyway, I happened to start doing things that were more positive in my life. So I took up scuba diving and became like an advanced. I got my advanced open water certificate with like
five. How do you do that when you're bankrupt?
Five specialties. Well, the good thing about going bankrupt is that you get rid of all your credit if you do it the right way. I think that's called Chapter 7 bankruptcy for individuals. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's what I did way back then. And it was bad. Yeah, I mean, it was humiliating. One, to lose your job. Two, to file bankruptcy and all that stuff. So the only thing I had left was my school loan, student loan. So I paid that off finally. And I've never had a credit card since then.
Wow.
I might be the only American. I haven't had any kind of credit, no cars, no car payments, none of that stuff since 2001. So 15 years I've had no debt or anything like that. But anyway, so I started doing positive things, because I couldn't do anything else. I took up scuba diving and enjoyed that. Did that off of Gloucester and Rockport up in there. And also I took up running.
Oh.
So, yeah, I took up running and have pretty much run every at least like 30, 40, 50, 60 miles a week every week since then.
Wow.
So good things come out of it. And so, yeah, that was the tailspin. Anyway, when I lost my job, I had all these Brooks Brothers suits, threw every one of them in the garbage and swore that I would never work in a company again or sit in a cubicle.
And now you're working in a company.
And now
not sitting in a cubicle.
Now I'm in my cold little den in my office, in my house. But, right. Yeah, so it's come full circle now. I'm back to being working for the man.
You got health insurance?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Thanks, Obama.
I know, exactly. Yeah, when I broke my collarbone, it was they did absolutely nothing at the hospital. It was $1,500.
Aspirin.
No, not even that. They're just like, hey, here's a prescription. Go get painkillers and deal with it. And bye.
Bye.
$1,500, please. So yeah, that was my fun story.
That's a great story. I love stories. You know how much I love stories. That's a good one. That's a good one. Don't have one like that, but it did make me think. Because my life, I mean, it's funny to think that we were both in Boston at the same time, although we probably wouldn't have gotten along if we would have met each other back then. So it's probably a good thing that it didn't happen.
I don't know. You were into running pretty thoroughly, weren't you?
I was, but I wasn't into guys with Brooke Brothers suits who steal chairs from their offices and put them in the back of their sports cars.
That was the start of that was the start of my sticking it to the man.
I wasn't into guys with $3,000 watches. So
that sucked having to give that. I loved my little Omega watch.
Yeah. So, you know, it's for me, not much is new other than I had to stop drinking because I was worried what my recycling guy was starting to think of.
That and the money, too.
That and the money, yeah.
Didn't your wife's car just break?
My wife's car broke. I was going to get up. You know, we are this weekend, Saturday night. We are expecting 7+ inches, which some people find exciting and alluring, and other people get scared of. It just depends on your perspective and your experience level and how much you can take. But we might get a lot of snow. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. And I was going to get a pair of nice, brand new waxless cross country skis,
which you deserve, now, I think.
I just at least. And they are the new kind. Have like a felt kind of bottom. They're really kind of cool because these work on ice as well as snow, because the scale bottom kind of waxless skis don't work on ice.
Yeah.
These will. So I went to my buddy Chris Lee over at Bikeway Source. I'm like, all right, set them aside, get a little Christmas money together. I'm going to make this happen. Taught an extra course, going to have some more extra money in the bank. And wife's car breaks down. I had to rent, because I travel in style, I had to rent a Fiat 500.
I like those. Those are cute.
For 2 days. And then the second day, it snowed a lot.
Dude, I can totally see you driving that little Fiat with your like little Professor Tweed coat and like a pipe.
I was about to drive the I was about ready to chuck the thing in my pond.
It weighs less than your motorcycle, I think.
Which is why I could chuck it in the pond. And so, you know, it snowed, and I was driving that thing in a lot of snow. So long story short, $550 later, no cross-country skis for Gary.
New electrical system for the wife.
See you later. Wife gets the car fixed. I got to drive a Fiat for 2 days and get no cross-country skis. That was awesome. So that happened.
That sucks. Well, that's why you worked all last week, too, that took on that extra job. So
it is a reason why I work a lot. Got to pay for stuff. Got to be a man. Got my responsibilities. And it's not been a big deal. This winter is pretty much blue so far because, again, we had just enough snow and ice to ruin the trails, but not enough to do anything on. But this weekend, it's probably going to change a bit because we are going to, like I said, get a pretty significant snowstorm. You could get anywhere from 5 inches up to 2 feet. Don't know yet.
Yuck.
How much? Don't know. But what that does mean is that I have to do my long run on Saturday morning at like 5:30 a.m., which is going to be awesome because it's going to be around 12 degrees.
Yeah, no interest.
So I have to run 18 miles in the dark because my daughter has cross-country ski team at 8:45, which means I got to be done by 8 o'clock so my wife and daughter can drive there because I can't run the next day. Because of the fact that we're going to have a lot of snow, so right.
Yeah, there's no interest in that. I'd probably give up running.
I wish I had no interest. And, you know, it makes me kind of think about why in the hell I am doing this. So the other morning, so again, I'm training for Boston, in case you've forgotten. Training for Boston. Training's going really well. I mean, I've, you know, run up some pretty good runs. Things have felt pretty strong. Laying down some decent splits, all in all, not bad. You know, I'm in my bed Sunday morning. It's like 4 o'clock. I get up around 4 o'clock in the morning because I got to get out early. Got to get up before church. So I'm sitting there with my coffee, cozy, snug as a bug in a rug. and looking outside and it's dark and it's about 15 degrees and I have zero interest in leaving the house. None. Got my coffee, got my little heating pad because I'm old. And I do. Got my little heating pad, warm, bed's warm, just kind of reading, doing some reading, just very comfortable, just in, the house is quiet, enjoying myself thoroughly, and I got to ruin it, to head outside in the dark and the cold by myself so I can go out and log 18 horrible miles.
Sounds miserable, but I bet you had, you were in pretty good mood when you got done, weren't you?
Not so much.
Why is that?
Because it wasn't a great run. Because, look, again, spring marathons make no sense. They make no sense. At least if you're training in the cold and you're going to run in the spring when it gets warmer. There is no upside to them whatsoever. You're not going to be acclimatized because you're going to be training cold and more than likely running warm. So if you get a warm day, you're not ready for it and it's going to blow. Number two, you got to train in the cold, which a lot harder to train in the cold. Hard to get the engine going, right? Hard to get your heart rate up because it's cold. You got to wear layers, which get sweaty, then get heavy. It's constricting. Nothing about running in the winter translates to a spring marathon. Zero. I have yet to find any connection that makes sense between the two. Nevertheless, here I am. So did I feel better afterwards? No, didn't feel better. I felt good that it was done, but it was slow and plodding and never felt great. And if you get the only joy I got out of it is kind of this puritanical joy of punishing myself for something I might have done in the past that I think I deserved punishment for. So from that perspective, it was a win. Any other perspective, horrible.
Yeah.
And I could have sat in my bed and drank coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Which would not have been any better. Because then, what would I have been upset about for the rest of the day?
Missing your run and feeling guilty and feeling like a slug.
Didn't run. So, What am I to do?
You find that nice little, like, moderation, middle ground area like I do, man. Like I was telling you earlier before we started recording, it's like, you know, I just do the little 10K a day thing and it's part of my day. It's like, you know, it's like going to lunch and just get it out of the way and... Yeah.
Well, what I would like to ask people for, if anybody still listens to this thing, what I would like to ask people for is this. Usually people say things like, give me what helps to motivate you, get out the door. Just on the Ultra Runner listserv, there was someone asked a question, what kind of motivation do you use to leave an aid station at 2 a.m.? Rather than getting messages of motivation, what motivates you, I would really like people's words of good reasons why I should quit.
Try to, like, coax you into quitting.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I can find affirmations anywhere. I just need to find good rationalizations that would work for me of why I should quit.
Well, for one, I think, and I've believed this for quite a long time, is that the long, long distance running is not beneficial to the body.
It's not.
Preservation is a good reason.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm running that fast or that much to even have that to be a good excuse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, we talked about this through our email chain from last night when I said, want to do a show? But I've been reading about Ryan Hall. And for those who don't know who Ryan Hall is the American record holder for the marathon and for the half marathon. For a half marathon, he's run 59 minutes and 43 seconds, I believe.
Just off my time.
Yeah, 59:43. Not bad. Not bad for a half marathon. And for the marathon, he's run 204, 58, I believe it was.
God, crazy.
Not bad. I ran that at Boston 1 year. Got him fourth place. Imagine running 204 and getting fourth. How rip would you be at that?
Yeah.
I'd be angry. Ryan's not angry. You know why he's not angry? Got God. Doesn't get angry. He's in a good place. Anywho... I don't know if it was American record, but yeah, 204.53. So, but he quit. He retired. He didn't quit. He retired. Is it the same thing? Is retiring and quitting the same thing?
Kind of forced to, though. I mean, kind of like we used to say Jeff Rose retired.
Yeah, the dude's got chronically low testosterone, and his body just failed him, essentially. He just quit. His body quit on him. And again, I don't know. I mean, is retiring the same as quitting?
Well, I don't know. It seems like it.
Seems saying you quit seems a little severe. Right? Yeah. Doesn't it?
Retiring to me sounds like you've fulfilled a career. Like you've gone through all the stages of a career. You started off as, you know, a rookie, whatever, and built your talent to a certain level, peaked, and then started to have that denouement, decline a little bit, and realized it, and said, hey, I've satisfied all my goals I've wanted to reach. I'll retire. That's the last step. That's what I think about retiring. Retiring when you're kind of like still on that upward slope, you know, of getting better and then having to be forced to quit. I think that's quitting.
Yeah, and it wasn't like he had a choice here, so it seems. I mean, I don't know the guy, right? And all I've done was read his blog and read his tweets, so I feel like I know him.
Of course.
Because I read his blog.
Are you Facebook friends?
Maybe. I don't know. we both go to church. Got that going for us.
Is God leading you in your training, too?
It was funny this last weekend, if you want to get theological. The gospel was about the wedding of Cana. The wedding in Cana, and when Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine. And recently, the Episcopal Church, if anybody's been following the news, was put under sanction by the Anglican Church, of which the Episcopal Church is part of, for redefining marriage as being between two persons and not just between a man and a woman. Okay, so the rector at our church gives this lovely, lovely, lovely sermon about being the new wine for the world, and you know, just does this nice little translation of turning water into wine to being the new wine and being the new wine for the world, and da da da, really lovely. And I went up to him afterwards. I said, your sermon really inspired me today to go out and buy wine. That's what I got out of it. So you know, I mean, yeah, I think that we do have this connection, and I did go out and buy wine and drink some. Even though it was on sale because I can't afford anything expensive. I don't know. I mean, he seems to be okay with his decision to no longer run. But again, not that he might have much of a choice.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, part of me, like even today, before we recorded this, I had to go out and do a run. And it's cold here. It's really cold. I mean, it's not super cold. It's not like Minnesota cold.
It's just not fun running weather, yeah.
It's not fun running weather because you got to, like, you know, put on layers. And I was all, you know, had like three layers up top and had like two layers on my hands. And it's just a whole thing, right? It's not just like in the summertime, you just kind of, I'm going to go out and run. You just kind of go out and you run. The sun feels good on your body and everything feels loose and everything feels great. This blew. So I'm out there and I'm like, you know what? Maybe if I just got injured, then I would not have to worry about this anymore.
Yep.
And then my Achilles started to hurt like 4.5 miles from my house. I'm like, but not now. I didn't mean that literally. I was just kind of speaking metaphorically. So body, don't like actually injure me right now because I have to get back home.
Then you could have retired.
Then I could have I could have announced today's show. I'm retiring. I just said that's it. But I always feel like I have to train for something. Why do I always feel like I have to train for something?
I know. It is motivational, and I'm the same way. When I have something on the horizon, it makes me get out and do more stuff, you know, aside from just exercising.
I don't even know if it's motivational. I just think I'm kind of locked into this identity thing where I feel like I have to kind of, whatever, even myself out. I don't know. Like, for instance, so Ryan Hall retires because he is on low testosterone, can no longer train, decides to call it quits, got other things to do, just recently adopted 4 Ethiopian sisters. He and his wife, because if he adopted them by himself, that would just be kind of weird.
Yeah, I tried to do that myself.
Right? You can't do that. They have screening processes and everything. Unless you got money, which you don't. Well, you got a job now. Maybe you can hook that up. So, you know, you got, you know, so he and his wife, Sarah Hall, adopted these 4, you know, sisters. And he's got a foundation going on. He's got stuff going on. So that's all good. In cycling, it was really, really amazing. A person by the name of Gabby Duren, who formerly known as Gabby Day, I didn't really know Gabby, but I got to meet Gabby years ago. She came and did Midnight Ride of Cyclocross, I think the first year we had it. She came over from Europe, and she's British, actually Welsh, and a professional cyclist. And you know, I've tracked her career a bit because she actually lived in the area, lived in Western Mass, because she ended up getting married to a guy I know named Jeremy Duren. So now she's Gabby Duren. So she, last year, kind of her results really, really plummeted, really plummeted. You know, like, what's going on with Gabby? And so this year she's like, you know, going to come back, going to give it a go, going to rededicate herself to training, a new attitude, taking this, you know, maybe she read one of those books that guy you talked about wrote. And she starts having a good season, and then she drops off again, just drops off again, just no results, you know, not starting races she signed up for. And then she comes out with a blog post saying she's retiring. Again, very young. She's, I think, I don't even know how old she is. If she's 29, maybe third, maybe early 30s. I'm not even sure. She retires. And she says she's been suffering from depression. She writes a very, very, a very heartfelt blog post about having depression. So she retires. So, you know, it's interesting as you talk about, you know, your job, the circumstances of your life compelling you to no longer follow the path that you were on when you were in Boston. Now these two people, Ryan Hall on the one hand, Gabby Duren on the other hand, for different reasons, both saying they're no longer going to be professional athletes. And I think that that's just, I think part of me is like, wow, I mean, how do you call an end to that thing you've done and dedicated yourself for so long? Sometimes that decision is made for you, and sometimes you have to make the decision yourself. But then what's a good decision? What's a good reason? And that's why I'm wondering if people could provide me with good reasons for retiring and not doing this kind of training anymore.
Yeah, I think, it's interesting because what I believe is that it shows how the person truly feels about the sport that they're doing. If it's hard to explain, but if they're in love with the sport and just love the activity, those are the types of people that kind of stay in it, even if, you know, things aren't going so well and the results aren't there, or they're getting older and the results are declining naturally. They still stay in it because they just love doing it, and they can accept that they're not as good at it as they were before. I see that a lot, now I've seen a lot in motocross, and it's a much more accelerated pace. Not only riding the bikes on the track, it's fast, but I'm talking about the accelerated pace of the lifespan of the runner's career or the racer's careers. Because these kids, and they are kids, I mean, they get into certain teams will kind of nourish them along as they're coming up through the ranks, and we're talking when they're 10 years old. And they're racing these little teeny 50cc motorcycles, they'll take the ones that are really good and start forming them into pros. So that's all they know. And by the time they're literally 25 years old, they're at the sunset stages of their careers.
Wow.
At 25. I mean, Ryan Villopoto is a good example. He won four championship years in a row. He just dominated it for 4 years. And then this year, this summer, snap, done. He announced his retirement. The guy is 27 years old.
Right.
Multimillionaire, but, you know, so it just, to me, that shows. And then on the flip side of that, you have a guy like Chad Reed, an Australian, who still races, has been in the sport long before Ryan Villopoto got into it, is still in it. He's 33 years old and at the top of the game. He took second last week at San Diego, the second race in the series of Supercross. And he came in second right behind Ryan Dungey, the current champion. So this guy is still at the top of his game and 33 years old, which is ancient in that sport. So yeah. It shows me, and you can tell when I listened to a lot of podcast interviews with motocross guys, and he was on last week, and you can tell in his voice how much he and his family just love the whole culture of it, and he identifies himself with that, and he just loves racing. I could see the guy, even if he had to quit racing tomorrow professionally, he would still ride his motorcycle, where a lot of these guys, I mean, I've heard pros on podcasts doing interviews, and they're like, so, you know, you still, you know, love motorcycles and you're still racing or at least riding a little and racing on occasion. Nope, I haven't ridden in 3 years, which blows my mind because it's such a fun activity. Like a lot of other people say, well, you know, I love this activity. They, you know, they keep doing it. And so, I mean, for a guy to quit halfway through, unless it's, predicated by a physical ailment like Ryan Hall, you know, it shows me that they don't, you know, they didn't love it as much as you would think.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, you talk about being young. I was just looking at the World Cup of Cyclocross. I didn't watch this race yet, but the sixth round that was in France. If you look at the ages, you know, it's all 20, you know, for the people who won, you know, Matthew van der Poel, 21, Wout van Aert, 22, Lars van der Haar, 25, Kevin Powels, the old guy, 32. Right? Sven Ness, who is the most accomplished cyclocross racer professional ever, he's 40, and he's retiring at the end of this year. Everyone else is essentially in their 20s.
Wow.
But, I mean, Kevin Powels used to be the up-and-comer, so was Tom Ewson, and now he's 28. I mean, it's different for women, right? I mean, for whatever reason, physiologically, maybe it's because they got into the sport later, because we do see women, like this last year at U.S. Cross Nationals, we had Rebecca Ferringer come out of seemingly nowhere and finish fifth, right? But she's new to the sport, only been doing it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Whereas these other guys have been, you know, at least in Europe, have been doing it all their lives. Ellen Van Looy, 36, has been coming on like gangbusters. She's Belgian, and, you know, she just got second. Ava Lechner, 31.
Gunnarita Dahl, 40.
Gunnarita Dahl.
She's 42, I think.
Helen Wyman, you know, who does, you know, puts on a clinic at my race, 35. She's been doing, having another strong season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I wonder why that is, that the guys are, obviously, it must just be that their gender, physically, they peak at different times. Guys must peak earlier, I guess, in the,
well,
terms of the physical capacity.
Well, if it's, I mean, I'm just going to take a guess here, right? I don't know if I'm right or not. I'm going to take a guess. But if males, you know, muscular development is at least in no small part reliant on testosterone, right? Mm. I mean, in terms of whatever it is that we do with testosterone, I mean, at what point does testosterone production start to go down and muscle development peak? Whereas women not so relying on testosterone, maybe it becomes less of an issue. I'm just tossing it out there. I have no idea if that's accurate or not. Mm-hmm. But Ryan Hall, you know, with his low testosterone, and, you know, give the guy his due. People asked him, why don't you just get a therapeutic use exemption? He said, number one, if you take synthetic testosterone, your body stops producing its own. Number two, it felt like cheating to him, even though he had a medical reason for doing it.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to have to deal with that. He didn't think it would be fair. It felt like it would be a distraction. So he's just like, screw it. You know what he's doing now? Mm-hmm. Weightlifting. I know, right? I was reading some articles. You know,
the guy, what's he weigh, like 120 pounds?
When he was at his lowest, he was like 120 and like 5'9 or whatever the hell it was.
God dang.
I know. And so now he's bulking up, getting big.
One of my legs weighs that much, I think, now.
Getting ripped. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, and for me, I was thinking about this during my run today, which I didn't want to go on. I was doing intervals on the road.
I know. I forced you into it.
You did. I was like, well, I would have gone anyway. I mean,
get out there.
I'm stuck.
Well, but I sit here with my bonbons. And
my first marathon I ran, I think, was in 1996. So I've been doing some form of endurance training racing for 20 years.
God. Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but then it does sound like a lot.
It does sound like a lot. It goes by quick, though.
I mean, you know, so 20 years. And, you know, I don't know, at some point, I'm just wondering, okay, am I going to be able to say, you know what, I'm kind of done with the training and racing. I'll still ride my bike, I'll still run, whatever, but I'm kind of done. I don't know.
I think so. I'm at that 20
years, you know? Feels like a long time.
I know. I think I'm at that point, too, though. So I fully understand what you're saying, and it's funny, I have kind of similar thoughts. Like, occasionally I don't know what spurs me to think this, but I'm like, God, am I even fit anymore? And, you know, compared to normal people. And it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm like literally working out 90 minutes every day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And it's like, I'm questioning whether I'm fit. So it's just crazy. I think you get to that mentality where absolutely I'm not, you know, at racing condition, you know, or at peak fitness where I could go out and, you know, run to my potential or cycle to my potential. But fitness, yeah, I'm there, you know, and it's okay. It's just, I think it just, you get that mentality of, like, you know, like you were saying, you get locked into the repetition of signing up for races, training for races, competing in races, signing up for races, training for races, competing in races. And you go through that over and over again, and you don't know what to do if you're not doing that.
You know, and it's two other notable people to me recently in this kind of larger theme of, you know, kind of keeping going or retiring, right? So U.S. National Cyclocross Championships just happened back on January 10th in Asheville, North Carolina. And it was a good race, right? There was a three-person race basically for the men's competition between Jeremy Powers, Stephen Hyde, and Logan Owen. And Logan Owen's 21. He's like, you know, the up-and-comer. He could have raced under 23 and just decimated the field, but he decided he was going to step it up and race elites. Jeremy Powers has won numerous past years, and he won again, but even though Stephen Hyde gave him a good race. Fourth place. Jonathan Page, 40 years old.
Nice.
Jonathan Page, who was in Europe for seasons. He and his family just came back last year, by the way, when he was going to Worlds. His wife, Corey, had miscarried, almost died, and you know, severe medical complications from this miscarriage. Jonathan goes and races Worlds anyway. This year, his wife, Corey, was expecting. Actually, they just had their baby. Congratulations. Baby named Ansel. But he went out and did nationals anyway. 40 years old. Fourth place. Where the hell he continues to get his drive from is amazing to me. Ryan Trabon basically had fractured his back. Ryan Trabon, 35 years old, basically had fractured his back early in the year, was going to retire, went out and did some training, had some good sensations in his legs, decided he was going to go for it, seventh place. And I just, those stories are amazing to me, you know, just what Jonathan Page has nothing left to prove. Nothing to prove. He's accomplished.
Loves the sport.
He's accomplished everything that he needs to accomplish. I do think it's accomplished. I do think it's partly that, but I also do wonder, like the rest of us wonder about, what else am I going to do? Yeah. And I don't. I'm not speaking for Jonathan because I don't know. Right? Katie Compton, 38 years old. Georgia Gould, who we've had on the show, second place, 36 years old. Rachel Lloyd was fifth place, 41 years old. You know, and just the you know, keep going, or stop. And that's one of those things that I've been wrestling with. Adam Meyerson, who is a legend in American cyclocross, not for the results he's put up, but just for his presence and pushing the sport. And he's, you know, very reflective guy, and he's very interesting to talk to. Also has tremendous Twitter presence.
Anti-doping guy.
Yeah. And I know Adam, you know, fairly well. I mean, he's come in and talked to my class before, and we've, you know, had coffee. He just retired. He just had a son recently, and retired from being a professional. This was his last race. And so, you know, now what? What do you do? Where do you go? Who are you?
Well,
right.
Some people are one-dimensional, and that's all they have in life, I guess. You know, then that's their identity, but...
It's scary, though, you know?
Go back to supercross and motocross racing. You know, these guys, like I was saying, get... what happens is when they start getting, you know, pressured into racing and it becomes their life... they end up with homeschooling. You know, they drop out of school. They obviously don't go to college, most of them. And so at 25 or 6 years old, when they, you know, quote unquote retire, they don't have a lot. I mean, they may have money, you know, and a nice house and stuff, but whew, you know, what are you going to do for the next 50 years of your life?
And I don't want to imply, by the way, that Adam doesn't have anything going on, because Adam has a very successful coaching company and has other things happening.
Probably be fine because...
he's going to be fine.
You just need that other thing to identify with. Like you're talking about Ryan Hall. I mean, like you said, he's a very religious guy, and he's got that foundation that he's working with, and, you know, he's adopting kids, and, you know, so he has a lot of other things to focus on.
I got some kids he can adopt. We're more than willing to exchange for coaching services. Fantastic.
Three daughters, all their toys go with them.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, with Adam, seeing him go, you know, what he's going to do next. You look at Gabby Duran, she's taking on the director of, like, marketing relations or digital media or whatever it is for the cycling team that her husband still races for. Sven Ness is taking over as director sportif for Telenet Fidea, which is a major cyclocross operation. Take me for instance again. It's not like I got nothing to do.
Yeah.
If I wasn't training for stuff,
I think you'll easily find ways of occupying my time. I think you'll enjoy it when you do finally decide. And it won't be like, I'm just speaking for myself, but if it's like me at all, it won't be just like a complete shutdown. I mean, I raced last year. Race those three races towards the end of the running season and trained for them and focused and, you know, ran to my potential in each one of them and enjoyed the hell out of them. It's just not at that intensity. I think when you move over to kind of this more relaxed lifestyle in terms of like competition, I think it's a blessing that, you know, being mediocre at all these sports for so long,
right?
It's easy to transition into quitting, I guess, because I can still do all those activities. I still love mountain biking and racing occasionally and running and all that stuff. And who knows, I may get more competitive again, but I can transition into the more doing it as an activity much easier because I was pretty mediocre at all those sports, you know, being at the peak of the, like Ryan Hall type level. It must be miserable for him to run a 2:30 marathon. Literally, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. How awful is that? It's like if you couldn't break 4 hours, basically.
Yeah, I've known people like that who have come out of college and then they're like, well, if I can't do it at the level that I was doing it, I'm not going to do it at all.
Exactly. Football players, you know, and they're, oh, I was so good in college, but not good enough to make it to the pros. And then they end up eating and being tubs and they're watching football.
Yeah.
And then they can't just go out and, you know, exercise for the heck of it. They enjoyed that sport, so they can't just go out and do it for fun.
And then there's like Gary Milburn, who we had on our show before, you know, relatively recently, Aussie, who's now over in Europe racing cyclocross, and he's just fighting to finish on the lead lap, which he did this last World Cup race. He was able to finish on the lead lap, and you know, he's got a, you know, degree in finance, and when this is done, he's just going to head back to Australia and continue to race and be a financial whatever he does, financial planner, manager, investor. And that's just cool. You know, that's just cool. It's just interesting to me the hold that these events and doing and the repetition and the routine and the ritual and the sense of self and the hold that can put on you to the point that, you know, I mean, does it make you a better person to get out of bed on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. to go out for that long run when it's easier to stay in bed?
Hell no.
I don't know. After a certain point, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, I got it. You know,
I just do it. I go out and do the stuff when I feel like it. You know, Spur of the moment. It's like if I don't feel like running one day, I'll just skip it. Who cares? You know.
Yeah, I wish.
And then I try to remember if I'm like miserable that night, thinking, God, I'm not going to sleep as well, and I'm kind of down on myself now for not doing any exercise and feel like a slug. I'll remember that, and that's the motivation I use to get out the next time. And another trick I use I tell this to my athletes too, when they're kind of in the doldrums of training and not motivated as much, I just tell them, don't put the pressure on yourself. You know, even though it says on the schedule that you're going to go out and do a 8x3 minute hill workout or whatever, it's step out the door and just jog for 10 minutes. And if you don't feel good, you can stop and just tell yourself this, because 99.9% of the time after 10 or 15 minutes of jogging, you're going to feel better and you're going to get through the workout and then you're going to love it and wonder why you ever question yourself.
Yeah, I guess. At the time you come back in the door and say, yeah, you know what? I could have done without that.
And there's times like that.
You know? Do you feel better? No, not so much.
Yeah, there's been times like that. So that's, yeah, just, I think you just have to realize that it's, you have to look at the big picture of it and say, you know, this isn't going to make or break me if I skip this day or if I skip 3 days or a week. You know, if it means that it's going to make me hungrier to come back and train and enjoy it more, then I'm not. I'd say the best thing I like telling people is, you know, are you going to be in the Olympics coming up? No, probably not. So Is it that important, really? You know, if it's that miserable to you, then take a week off.
Who cares?
Man.
I'm in that sub-3-hour Boston. I'm eyeing it.
You're right on the edge of that 204.
I am eyeing that sub-3-hour Boston right now because I am so far ahead of where I was last year.
That's funny.
At this time. And I was like, I'm telling you. I don't know. I mean, I actually had some good runs. I'm able to rip off a relatively comfortable run, running around, you know, just over 7-minute pace. I'm telling you.
Sounds painful.
I see that and I'm like, can get there. Can get that sub-3. Can do this.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
And then that sub-3, I'll be like, all right, so I did that. I guess the thing I look forward to, it's like that, the thing that you keep hoping for in all the times of misery and discomfort when things don't feel right is that one magical run, that one magical ride, that time when it all feels effortless. And that's like the thing. That's the thing you keep chasing. It's like what, you know, not just the endorphin rush. I'm not talking about that runner's high. It just, everything clicks. You feel, don't feel the ground. You're just moving through space without even working at it. That's the thing that you chase. And when you get that thing, you want it again. And you might only get it once in a while. And hopefully that thing happens on the day of your race. But you just kind of keep moving towards that thing because you know you're not going to get it by not running, by not biking, by not swimming. Just when it all happens and you do it without thought, you do it without effort, and you're just in the moment. It's that Zen kind of existence that I think, at least for me, that I kind of remember having at certain times and keep looking for.
Yeah.
At least for me. That's the deal.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know if it is or not, but if people have good suggestions on to quit, I'm more than happy to hear them. Because I could be convinced. I mean, I'm not going to not run Boston. I already spent $180 on the damn thing.
You can make that your swan song, though.
And what should I do? Have a press release ready. Yeah. Just walk around. Just walk around the expo. Just handing out a press release here. What's this? This is my
final wraith.
This is my last wraith.
Never gonna wraith again. You'll never see me again. You'll miss me.
I do plan on mountain biking once.
Well, that's the thing.
I have no races.
We've talked about this several times, and it's you got all these other things, and same here. You know, it's like I have too much to do. You know, right now I don't because the freaking weather is not letting me get out on the dirt bike. Unfortunately, for quite a while now, but usually I have all that
trainer.
Stuff
to look on the trainer
on my motorcycle. Oh my god, ring in the living room,
right.
Fly off the rollers and go through the back window. No thanks. It is, I do keep my motorcycle in the house. I got this like sunroom area, and it's nice. I can sit out there and work on it and clean
look
it.
At it.
I actually sprained my wrist working on the bike 2 days ago.
It
sucked,
sprained huh? How? What?
Working on my motorcycle.
Oh.
I did something weird to it, and like I heard something pop, and now I sprained my wrist, and it sucks. But anyway, yeah, to get injured doing all kinds of stuff. I've broken both wrists, so they're both kind of weird.
Reminds me, I hurt my thumb.
And
this goes into no good deed goes unpunished. So I mentioned the fact that I went to church on Sunday. What beautiful sermon was given.
Giving the rector the thumbs up.
I'm like, okay, I'm the new wine. Got to go out there. Got to embody love and giving and connection with fellow man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn over this leaf. I'm going to hit the world and be the embodiment of the person that I want to be. So I'm going to Lowe's because I got to buy some plexiglass for the chicken coop.
Why?
Because it's getting cold. I want to make sure that the snow doesn't blow into the chicken coop so the chickens stay warm. Anywho, so I got to drop $60 on plexiglass for the chicken coop. And so I'm leaving. And so I'm pushing my cart back into Lowe's because I don't want to be one of those people that leaves a cart out in the parking lot.
Especially
as they're plowing it. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to push this cart back. I'm going to get it out of their way because they're plowing the parking lot. Going to be the new wine, going to do this, push the cart back, mission accomplished. Walking back, I see a guy in a front end loader who's trying to get this one area that people left the cart, and the cart was tipped over. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to help this guy out. I don't have to do it. I don't work here. I'm not getting paid for this, but But I see this guy. I can do him a solid. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. Doesn't matter. I'm going to help him out. So I go there. I had to flip the cart back over in order to push the cart back into the Lowe's area, to the door area to get it out of the way. Flip it over. Catches my nail in my thumb. Rips off part of my nail. Bends my thumb back.
Gross.
Now my thumb's starting to bleed.
Ouch.
So now I got a hurt thumb. My left thumb, my thumb hurts. You know why? Because I tried to help someone else out.
Yeah, not worth it.
Not worth it. I'm rethinking this whole strategy.
That guy, the guy's getting paid like $70 an hour
I think this was a sign. Gary, got to pull back a little bit. Going too far with this. You don't have to help everybody out. Maybe this guy's Trump supporter. Don't know. Something. Cosmic was happening on a certain level where it was the most random freak thing in the world. Flipping this card over, hurt my thumb, caused it to bleed. I'm like, that's a sign. It's a message. It's a warning. And I took that as a sign from above that I got to kind of dial back helping my fellow man. So I know I'm right there with you with your wrist. Got a hurt thumb.
Yeah.
Ran hurt today.
Well, you're dedicated.
I am. Had this hurt thumb. Got two Band-Aids on it. Swelled up a little bit. Not going to lie. I might lose part of it.
Ooh.
Hurts. Just bleed. Had to go grocery shopping. Was bleeding.
Bending nails back. That was one of the things that freaks me out so bad. I would rather like snap my femur in half than bend a nail back.
Yeah. So.
Oh God, because of the willies.
That's what happened on Sunday or Monday, Martin Luther King Day.
That sucks.
Which, you know, keeping with Martin Luther King Day, the idea of suffering fellow man, all connected. So my thumb really got me in touch with the larger scale struggle of life.
Yeah. Speaking of struggles, I remember last year I mentioned that I ran into the side of the garage with my beautiful car and smashed the mirror off.
I seem to recall something about that.
Yeah, it was a whole story. Anyway, I ordered another whole side view mirror thing with the wires and all that crap. Put that baby on yesterday. Came in the mail. It arrived on Martin Luther King Day. I didn't think they would deliver, but UPS apparently is working on MLK Jr. Day. So, yeah, it must be a racist company even though they're brown. Anyway, they delivered that thing. And so I was like, well, I'm going to put this on, you know, it's whatever. And so I had the other one like dangling, but by zip
ties. Happens when you get older.
I know. So it was hanging off the side of my car with zip ties attached to it, holding it together. And so I ripped it all off, and it was an electric one. The one I ordered, not electric. I had a manual, like the little ball on the end of the cord.
Pardon me?
You move the ball around and it moves the mirror manually with cables and stuff. It looks like Terminator, like tendons. Anyway, so had nowhere to run that thing, the cable. So I ended up cutting the cable with all the wires and stuff to the old one, tore it off, replaced it with this new one, which is not painted, so it's black. My car is like burgundy, so I have to paint it now. But anyway, I wanted to put it on. So put
paint job would probably be more expensive than the car.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I put the cable. I didn't run it anywhere inside the door. I zip tied it to the little pull handle.
Sounds legit.
So it is so hillbilly in my car. The whole door is already held together with zip ties and glue. And then I've got this like giant cable with like a ball on the end of it to like adjust the mirror, zip tied to the pull to close the door on the inside of the car. So it's pretty snazzy.
You are pretty hillbilly.
Yeah. It looks good, though. The mirror went on fine, and it works, and I'm thrilled to have a mirror now. But, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Getting, like, home projects done and all kinds of stuff. God dang it. I just spit right on my – thank God I got the spit screen.
So you got a professional job. You got – you're worried that your mirror doesn't match your car.
I'm not worried about that. I'm actually worried that the cable is hanging.
So again, I'm just seeing this whole pattern, this whole trend.
I know, it's crazy. So
it's a whole thing. It's a whole new you.
Yep.
It's so exciting.
I know. No one to share with. This whole fascinating life.
They're sharing with all these people out there right now. Yeah. Everyone's appreciative.
Well, I got my dogs too. My one dog's so old. I feel sorry for him. It's sad, but whatever.
My youngest daughter keeps saying, "When Coco dies, we can get a new dog."
How old's Coco?
12.
Oh, poor thing.
I'm like, so you want Coco to die? No, I'm just saying, Coco dies. You can get a new dog. I'm like, don't say that in front of Coco. Yeah, so she's got plans.
She'll be saying that to you and your wife.
I know. When you die, I get all your stuff.
I get all your savings and all my inheritance. Which,
once she actually sees what the savings worth, that's going to be a rude awakening. trying to get her ready for that disappointment in life.
There you go, sweetie.
That's coming.
Get a 2004 minivan. Enjoy.
2009. New electrical. Electrical's new. Everything else is falling apart.
That's funny. What else? Useless. What else we got going on? Anything interesting?
Yeah, well, just the larger world of sports. Tour de Ski happened, which is a big stage race, big skiing stage race, Nordic skiing stage race, and the American women kicked butt. They did a really great job. Jess Diggins and Sophie Caldwell each won a stage, which is, the Norwegians. Especially the Norwegian women, Heidi Vang, Teresa Johaug, Heidi Vang, and God, what's the other ones? Osterberg. They've been just killing it. And two American women took stages. It was amazing. That's huge. I mean, it really is huge for American Nordic. And the men had some good showings as well. So, you know, cross-country skiing is in full swing. It's kind of sad, though, because you're watching these races, and basically they had to make snow for the track in a lot of these places. So people will be standing, like, on grass watching.
Colorado. Of course, that's downhill skiing more. So.
I mean, all over Europe right now, I mean, events have been canceled or rerouted because of the lack of snowfall.
Yeah.
So it's been, this whole El Nino deal, though, again, we're going to get whacked.
Yeah, just I told you that was going to happen while you were having this beautiful warm weather. I was like, you guys are going to get slammed, I hope. But
right now, I'm just looking at Slate.com. This blizzard for the ages headed for the East Coast is very much the real deal. So again, we might get anywhere from 5 inches to 2 feet. Don't know.
Won't be as bad as last year, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, look, getting 2 feet of snow at once causes some problems. It sucks, and I don't know right now. The models are actually further down south. It's going to be jackpot. We're going to be on the fringe of it. We're going to get hit.
So like New York and stuff?
Further south,
Virginia.
DC. Yeah. They are going to get crushed because what do you think is going to happen down there if they get a foot and a half of snow?
Oh, shut down.
For how long?
I remember living in Charlotte, North Carolina. My God, it would be like we had an ice storm. It was pretty bad. And I had just started my running club like 2 weeks before that. And my motto was, we will run no matter what happens. And, of course, they had the worst ice storm in history. So everything was covered in like an inch of ice. And that place, the city shut down for 3 days. Nothing. No school, no mail, no garbage pickup. They told you to stay off the roads. It was like a ghost town. It was crazy.
So I don't know if you remember the book The Perfect Storm. Movie by the same name.
Movie, yeah, George Clooney. Yeah,
Sebastian Younger's book. I've read the book before I saw the movie.
Was the book good?
Awesome.
Oh, gotta get that. I'll look it up. Don't worry.
Sebastian Younger. Great book. But the reason why they called it The Perfect Storm, and I was such a nerd at the time when I read this, I actually sent a letter to NOAA, the National Atmospheric Organization, Atmospheric, whatever it is.
Yep.
I emailed somebody there, and they sent
me. Can you tell me how?
No, for real. They sent me like academic papers that they had published on the thing.
Oh, fuck.
It was really funny.
Because it is fascinating. I love weather.
This is before the movie. Yeah. And I should say that I got like a C- or C grade in meteorology in college. Did meet a girl that I dated in that class. So not all was lost. But I really didn't understand meteorology. But I just got really into it. They're calling this storm coming up textbook. Another perfect storm.
I love that stuff.
I know. It's going to be massive, and it just depends on where it's going to hit, whether it's going to hit further up the coast. We might get a foot of snow, but further south, they might get like two plus feet.
Wow.
No, I know.
No, thank you. No thanks.
Again, 6 inches of snow. Good. Six
I know. I can't stand it because it. I mean, honestly, it doesn't affect my life because I work from home. So I mean, in day to day life, it doesn't really affect it that much. But God dang it, man! It just it ruins all the running around here because it's the weirdest kind of dirt. Unlike the rest of the country, this is like this really clay kind of stuff that sticks to your feet and your tires if you want to ride a mountain bike, dirt bike, whatever. You just can't go out in it when it rains or when there's snow on the ground. It's miserable.
Right.
It just pushes off the season, and I honestly don't enjoy doing anything in the snow. I don't even like looking at it. So I'm not envious.
They're looking at some places getting 30 to 42 inches.
God, 30, dog.
30 to 42 inches.
That's above your belt.
4 feet of snow is 48 inches.
Mm-hmm. No.
Could you imagine?
No. And another thing, too, is if listeners are still even with us today, Gary's going to be in my neck of the woods, sort of. He'll be on the other side of the rock over in Denver in just 2 weeks, actually.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, about 2 weeks from – actually 2 weeks from Thursday this week. So, yeah, I'm kind of like watching the weather because obviously we want to get together. I haven't seen him since 2013 in person.
When you quit.
Shut up. Yeah, I retired.
I retired
from the Leadville 100 in 2013.
Expecting Tim to come down the trail. Tim's coming the other way. How do you get over there?
Wandering in, off the road.
How'd you get here? I took a ride.
Holding a beer.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So anyway, Gary's going to be here being 4 hours away from me, and I'm hoping that I can drive over to him, but I have to go over all the mountain passes, the Vail Pass and all that stuff, and through the Eisenhower Tunnel, and it's usually pretty narrow and nasty when you get up at 12,000 feet. It's kind of icy, so I'm kind of watching the weather because I have that old rear-wheel drive car that does not drive in the snow
with the new side view mirror.
With the new black side view mirror. And so I'm hoping to get over there. If I can, it'll be great because we can hang out and hopefully do a show together even. Possibly.
Heck yeah.
I could set up video equipment. We could do a video cast.
Oh, yeah. People want to see that.
It'd be fun. Yeah. We'll do two. We'll do a podcast and it'll also post it on YouTube.
Right.
It'd be fun. Watch us drink beer. Speaking of drinking, I tried the whole bourbon thing and it just didn't work out. I started to pay attention to why I was having such bad headaches and not being able to sleep entire nights. And
I was waking up with sweats.
It was each night that I tried to drink 2 ounces of bourbon that night before going to bed, and I had a massive headache.
Yeah,
for
it's not enough.
Hours. Couldn't do it.
It's not enough bourbon.
But I did. So I switched over. Speaking of making wine out of water, I did switch over and start drinking wine again, which I've always liked in the past, and I realized that wine actually is cheap right now.
Yeah.
It's actually less expensive than it was 15 years ago when I was really into wines.
You can get good wine for $10, my friend. $10.
Yeah, I noticed.
You know, that's how I roll.
Actually, less than that even. I get the stuff like Barefoot Merlot, and it's only like $6 a bottle.
Nice.
Yeah. Drink that for breakfast. It's good.
All right. Well, I think that's about covers it all.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. Everything going on in our lives right now. We do have some guests coming up. We are getting some people lined up. So getting the show back on track. It's a new – we're not retiring from the show.
Yep. Just to look forward to, let you guys know, I'm going to have Tobin, who is a former guest on the show, 2 years ago. Can you believe that?
No.
2 years ago, I had Tobin on the show when he was just starting to put together the Telluride 100 mountain bike race, which I raced 2 years ago. And I'm also going to race it again this year. And we're going to have Tobin on the show along with a professional mountain biker that he's going to bring on with us. So that's going to be a fun show. That'll be coming up in a couple of weeks.
Got Cameron Coburn, who is actually a dedicated listener, who quit or retired from professional cycling. And I was said by a few people that I know that has some of the best natural numbers in terms of things like VO2 max that they've ever seen. Just walked away from the sport. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do something else. You know what he's doing right now? Nordic skiing. He's trying to learn how to Nordic ski in his 20s.
He's got the cool name for cycling.
I know, right?
Cog burn. I burn cogs.
He does burn cogs. And so I emailed him. I'm like, so are you coming on? He's like, yeah. So he's actually got a couple 50K races coming up. He's actually training for U.S. Nationals, 50K Nationals. So it'd be interesting to see a guy who did not grow up skiing but has a huge engine. Try to become a cross-country skier in a competitive way. So we're going to have Cameron on the show coming up soon. And also trying to get Rebecca Ferringer, who took sixth. I said fifth. She took sixth at Nationals, which was an amazing story. And Christine Vardaros, who is one of the preeminent trailblazing icons in American cyclocross, who is a friend of mine who's over in Belgium. And she's willing to come on the show. I want to get her on for a pre-worlds preview for cyclocross.
Cool.
Because she's over there, and she's also a vegan, races vegan. You know, maintains a very competitive, professional, athletic lifestyle while being vegan. So I think that'd be interesting as well.
Tough to do.
Very hard. She's legit. I have utmost respect for her. She's awesome.
Good. Well, so obviously we got some stuff in the pipeline. We just have to find the time to get these things put together, hopefully.
Yeah. And a few of you have given suggestions for guests, and we appreciate them. We'll be following those up.
Oh, crap. I almost forgot. And you didn't even remind me.
Say thank you to that guy.
No. Yes, you probably won't even remember by the time I look this up. We had a contest.
Yeah, we did have a contest.
Yeah, and I picked winners.
You did.
Yeah. We were giving away, if y'all forgot because it was so long ago, on the last show I announced that we were going to give away actually my last Elevation Trail trucker hat. Second to last, sorry. I have two. An Elevation Trail trucker hat and two winter beanies. Gary, you may need one, actually.
I need a winter beanie, no doubt.
Compliments of Run Steep Get High, which is Jamil Khoury's little.
It was great having him on the show.
Yeah, it was right. Awesome. Yeah,
that was right. He never came back.
We'll just start calling them the Almost Jamil shows.
Yeah, the Almost Jamil show. That was almost a great show we had with Jamil.
Yeah, I think I just read that his girlfriend's pregnant.
I would like to thank Jamil for the show he almost did.
Yeah,
that was great of him to almost come on.
I wonder if he's almost going to run Barclay again.
I don't know. I mean, I know he has a lot of events. If he almost runs Barclay again, we will for sure almost have him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So anyway, the winners. I did pick them. I'm just trying to figure out where I wrote them down here.
You can look forward to seeing Jamil probably not come on the show in the future. So we look forward to that not happening probably again.
I know. He may. We'll see. I'll keep seeing if they're talking to him, asking him.
I still have his I still have his eulogy.
We can just do that.
You want to do it? Said we should do it anyway because he'd be dead. He wouldn't be on the show. So we could just have Jamil on the show but not have him on the show since he wouldn't be here anyway if he was dead.
Yeah.
That would work too. Yeah. Just call it the Jamil Khoury Memorial Show without Jamil. We could invite Jamil on to his memorial show. If he shows up, he shows up. If he doesn't, they just, you know.
Oh, here it is. I found it. You ready?
I am.
Okay. So the winner of the Elevation Trail trucker hat is Julie Gayhart.
Yay, Julie.
Yeah. Congratulations, Julie. Actually, she was a former guest on the show. Guest/co-host. That was a couple of years ago when you missed a weekend, I think, or a week, and I had her on.
Yeah,
chatting with me. She'll
be on again for Jamil.
Yeah, she's a hiker out of and a long distance runner out of North Carolina. So congratulations, Julie! You won the Elevation Trail trucker hat. Now the two beanies, Ethan Salter. I don't know where he's from, but he's I think he's a long time listener. I've seen his name several times in comments and such. He won one of the beanies, and also, where is it? Oh, David. Oh, God dang it, man. This dude, I can never pronounce the last name. Nowachewski?
Okay.
Remember him from Michigan?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I do remember this.
All right. David Nowachewski? It's Nowachezee.
Too many of those letters too close together.
Exactly.
And
David Nowachewski, beanie hat. Ethan Salter, beanie hat, Julie Gayhart, trucker hat. So you folks, if I don't have your just email me, tim@elevationtrail.com.
Nice. Congratulations, folks.
Address, and I'll send the stuff over to you. Yeah, thanks a lot. I also have some other stuff to give away eventually. We'll do that on the next show, possibly.
I got a couple old suits I'm going to get rid of. Seriously, I'm like, I don't wear these anymore.
They're like the boxy with like the padded shoulders from like Wall Street movie.
Yeah, one of them is pretty old. So I got a few suits I'm going to get rid of. If anybody wants those, just kind of write on in. And I'm like, you know, 5'9". Waist is like a 33. I think the inseam's a 33.
You're like a 1930s gangster.
Right.
Little hat. Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks, folks, for listening. We appreciate you tuning in, as always, if anybody still followed through to the finality of the show.
And you want
to
win a suit formerly worn by me? Figure out a contest.
Signed.
Yeah, and if you know Jameel, you know, just say hey for him.
Yeah, tell him hi.
Say hi.
Whatever.
Thinking of him.
Yeah, thanks for listening, folks. We really appreciate it. If you feel like supporting the show at all, feel free to go to elevationtrail.com and click on the PayPal donation button on the left-hand side. I think it's on the left. Yeah, it is. And support the show if you like. And as always, have fun out there on the trails. That's a wrap. Pressure.